Yes, it is Tuesday. It's April 9. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. Pup is back with us all the way from Mumbai over there as he's calling the or commentating on the Indian Premier League. We've got Denny Widler coming up shortly and naturally stacks to talk about. The Bunnies just continue to dominate the headlines, although Parramatta starting to get some headlines as well after their 41-8 defeat to the Raiders there the other night. Be an intriguing team list Tuesday later this afternoon as well. Some significant potential ins, possibly Reece Walsh back on the team sheet at the Broncos in the Brisbane Derby against the Dolphins on Friday. Ezra Mann, by the way, he limped out of training yesterday. The Broncos played it down, said it was only a cork. Dean Marin is out for a few weeks with injury, so Corey Oates should start on the wing. And, of course, Adam Reynolds is injured. So Jock Madden, you'd expect on the team sheet there for the Bronx ahead of that one. And, Loz, I wonder if we'll see Zach Lomax in the fullback jersey for St. George Illawarra. The Dragons play the Tigers at Campbelltown this week.
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? Because Zach's leaving at the end of the year, and I suppose Shane Flanagan's got to weigh up whether they just go after the results now, or is it about the long-term development of Tyrell Sloan? If it's about the development of Tyrell Sloan, where he's been up and down this season, you probably tend to stick with him. But Zach Lomax got an opportunity there the other night. But I think whatever you do, he's just trying to find the right combination and the right balance for his footy team at the moment. And he's in a position to do that. He's taken over. He wants to make sure the players are on their toes. If they're not playing well, then he's going to make changes. So, you know, he's been there and done it before. He's got a lot more of experience than me. So I'll back him with whatever judgment call he makes.
Just some news elsewhere in supercars. Defending champion Brody Kostecki, he's set to return at last for Erebus at the next round at Taupo in New Zealand next weekend. That's not this weekend, next weekend. So we're in a statement, the 26-year-old said he's excited to be back behind the wheel again. He just needed some time away to prioritise his health, is what was said in the statement. Just some Premier League news as well. Everton, well, after having a 10-point reduction reduced to 6 on appeal, they've been deducted another 2 points for breaching financial rules. So they dropped to 16th in the Premier League table. And with just a handful of matches left, are only 2 points above the relegation zone. How are you, Denny?
Morning, gents. I'm very well. I'm fresh off quite a fiery and interesting 100% footy last night with Gus and Paul Gallen and James Brace.
Yes, Gus. Pondering. I feel like this hasn't been the first time as well, that maybe not from Gus, but you know, whether Latrell Mitchell, whether his heart's really into playing, Denny.
Well, that's what Gus was raising, and I found it quite interesting where he was questioning whether Latrell Mitchell actually wants to play rugby league. And now that's, you know, quite a big thing to consider. He certainly doesn't appear happy at the moment, does he? Like, hasn't appeared that way for, you know, the last few weeks at least. And the acts of foul play, probably a couple of them in recent weeks, particularly on the weekend, indicate that his mind can't be clear at the moment, can it? If he's doing those sorts of things, you know, I'm not someone to criticise a player because I've never played the game, but from an observer, if you're focused and I guess got the right mentality, you're not doing those things, are you?
No, I think what...
Denny, Sorry, Loz.
No, you go, Pop.
I was just going to say, Denny, I'm confused about the whole Latrell thing because before the start of the season, and even in Vegas, all I heard was Latrell's looking as fit as he's ever looked. He's so happy. He did Fox Show and all of the commentators were saying, mate, he's in great spirits. So, like, it can't be about anything more than he's just not playing the footy that's expected. And Loz said it earlier this morning. What happened on the weekend was just frustration. I reckon he's just frustrated with his own game at the moment.
Yeah, and then you have to throw in the radio as well, where he clearly knew. These are all acts of, I don't know, acts of anger, acts of some sort of defiance, aren't they?
Denny, Denny, we'll have to sort your phone line out there, Denny. Sounds like you're in a howling breeze there, down on the promenade, perhaps in Bondi.
Sounds like you're in India with me.
We'll sort Denny's line out shortly. But yeah, I'll just give you some of the direct quotes on 100% footy last night from Gus. So he said, has anyone ever sat Latrell down and said, do you really want to play this game? Are you really in love with this game? Do you love the hard work? Do you love the discipline? Do you love your teammates? Do you love the club? Or is it just, I'll do it because I'm good at it, but I'll do it my own way? Gus was pondering. Has someone actually sat him down and said, if you had a chance to walk away, would you go? I reckon he would. I reckon he will. I don't see that he's in love with it at all.
Where's he going to go, Middo? That's the other thing. Some of us don't have any other choice. Like, some of us, this is all we've got. This is the only thing we're good at. Like, there was days I hated cricket training, let me tell you. There was days I hated pre-season. There was days I hated running laps until you spewed. Like, there's parts of everything that everyone does that you mightn't love. You don't wake up every single day and love, you know, every day playing the sport that you're good at. What else is Latrell going to do if he's not playing footy? Like, I'm sure he's got a mortgage. I'm sure he's got family. I'm sure he's got he's got to support his life as well. Like, he doesn't necessarily need to love it. He needs to want to do it because of whatever reasons come to his mind. But I don't understand the question around, does he love it? Do you love coming to radio at 3:30 every morning, Mitter?
I know. I love it when I see you and Loz, though.
He's just got to have a reason to want to play. Like, he doesn't have to, I don't know. I just feel like there's this theory around, you love every single day of your life. And I understand the people that haven't played sport at the highest level. They sit back and say, yeah, you get paid great money. And I understand you do love parts of it, but you also hate parts. Well, there's days you might have a bad day. Like, I just feel like, Andre Agassi sounds like he did not love tennis one bit, but he knew it was all he was good at.
We got you back there, Denny.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
All good.
Must have been the hot air that I was, coming out of my wherever. I think that, I think Pat makes a lot of good points. He has got a mortgage. I mean, he's got to make a living, so I guess he's got to play football. But whether it's, he's got to show it's his passion, I guess, doesn't he? And what he really wants to do. And I think there's a meeting this morning, or today rather, with Latrell and his agent. And yes, they're saying it was, planned for a long time and whatever. I don't know whether it's a meeting to, I don't think it's to chastise him. It might just more to see where he's at, and maybe talk about what the club actually does need from him. And I think there's a lot of meetings going on at South at the moment. Nobody's really happy and they can't seem to get it right. And, there's all the talk is about Jason Demetriou's future and he's got one game to do something. And, I don't know what one game does though now. That's what I'm trying to get my head around. He's got, 80 minutes to save his job. But what if they then lose four in a row after that? What does that mean? It's all hard to actually work out. I spoke to Jason briefly yesterday. I had a few text exchanges, and he said to me that he's had no meeting with Blake Solly, or no conversation with Blake Solly where he's been told that he's got 80 minutes to save his career. So you'd think that if that's in the wind, or he'd be told about that, but all the drums are beating that this is it. I think that the amount of information that's being put out there about either Jason's coaching or relationships within the club and that kind of thing indicate to me that they're getting the media ready, hence the public ready for some sort of change. It just feels like it's been set up for that, the way it's all transpiring. And I'll be fascinated to see how the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks pans out. Because Jason Demetriou is a realist. He knew that you know, he's coming into this season under a lot of pressure after the Sam Burgess situation and the walkout. And right now, Sam Burgess looks smart, doesn't he? He looks like, you know, he was speaking a lot of truth, or saying a lot of truth that the club didn't necessarily want to hear. And I guess it's going to be up to the playing group to show the club and to show the coach whether they really want him to swing.
Mm. Well, if he doesn't survive, then, Denny, the obvious person is sort of standing there in front of us, I think, in Wayne Bennett. He's off contract at the end of this season with the Dolphins. Is he the bloke that would fit the bill perfectly and save South Sydney?
Well, Laurie, I mean, that's been suggested by many people, and I suggested again last night on 100% Footy, and Gus, you know, howled me down for it. He says just he's in Wayne Bennett, doesn't want to come back here. So I don't know whether that's right or not, but you'd think that, you know, look, the obvious person in the long term would be Sam Burgess, but from what I understand, Sam Burgess wants to honour his contract with Warrington, and Warrington are trying to make moves now to extend Sam's stay there because they're so impressed with what he's doing. Whether he does that or not, I'm not sure, but, you know, indications are that Sam probably wants to see out that deal, and I guess that makes a bit of sense because if Sam Burgess was to come back, I think there'd be major changes to the roster and the way that South do things, and that's quite an expensive exercise. And I don't know how it would take a serious sit down with Luttrell to work things out between him and Sam because I don't think that's happened yet. And so I think that Wayne Bennett probably makes the most sense because he'll be a free agent. Wayne would have to consider whether he'd want to come back down to Sydney, if he'd want to work with the same group, whether he saw value in that group, whether he saw an upside to, Wayne's not going to come there to get the same sort of results that they're getting at the moment. So he'd have to work out whether he feels that he could get the best out of the players there, because I don't know how much the South Sydney roster can change. So, toss $1 million at Wayne, he'd probably be interested. But I tried to reach out to Wayne yesterday. I put it to him whether he wanted to come back to Sydney and coach South, and I got donuts. Zero. He acknowledged it. He said, yeah, thank you. He said, thank you, I got your message. Then I wrote back, well, how about, can you answer my question about it? And I haven't heard back. So I'm getting zippity-doo-dah.
And last week, Daddy, you went to Moree, of course, and saw, that other great side where you see the impact that people like Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker have in the community and what they're doing in places like Moree to, help a youth there ensure they don't go down on the wrong path.
Yeah, I don't know whether people want to hear about this. I don't know whether people want to acknowledge that Latrell does a lot of good stuff, not just, he's more than a footballer. I don't know if they want to hear that he, that when he walks into a community, he is like, it's like a some sort of god or like a Pied Piper or something. The kids just run around and they all want to hang around and talk to him and, touch him and get his autograph or get an autograph and a selfie. And the stuff that he does, I got to witness it firsthand in Moree, and he didn't want to really talk to me or promote this in a media sense, because he wanted to, his aim there was connect with the kids, show his face, help with the police. He didn't want to stand there and talk about himself and wrap himself to me or, in a media sense. But he did so at the urging of Peter Volandis, who flew him up there with Andrew Abdo in a private jet, along with Cody Walker. He's far more willing to talk about these things, and I guess because he doesn't have quite the same spotlight that Latrell's under. But people, to see it firsthand, and I've seen him before, Laurie, with you in the Indigenous camps, and the popularity of the bloke is amazing. It's amazing. I haven't seen much like it.
No, he's certainly a popular character, and he's a guy that does a lot of good in Indigenous communities. But a lot of people want to see Latrell play his best football on the field. And
well, Laurie, what do you think of Gus's comments? I mean, should he? Is he? Are you worried he's going to walk away? You know him reasonably well, and you know you probably have a better understanding than a lot of people of Latrell.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. But what I will say, he looks like he's playing with frustration at the moment, and while he gets to miss the next couple of games, that could be a good thing for him. You know, stay out of the spotlight, freshen up, come back in a lot better headspace, and hopefully in that period of time, you know, the coaching staff have sat down with him and spoken about, mate, do you want to become the best fullback in the game? Because if you do, we'll work with you, and this is what you got to do. If you want to be the best footballer or the best fullback in the game, X, Y, and Z. And that's what we need from you. Now, it's okay if you don't, because we've got the option, we can move you to the centres. But for you and for us to win a competition, we think we need you at fullback, but this is what we need from you. And if we can't get it from you, we've got to move you.
Is it too strong to say that he's at a crossroads, Laurie?
Well, I think...
He is as a fullback. Crossroads
as a fullback. I think.
Yep.
I think with Latrell, just looking at him at the moment, I think he is frustrated. I think there's certainly a footballer in there that's playing nowhere near his potential. He's not doing what's required of him as a fullback at this stage. And it needs to be pointed out to him that if we're going to keep you in this position, then we need you to do this for us. If you can't, then we have to find you another position. And he can do it. That's the thing. He can do it, but he's got to want to do it, and he's got to show that desire. But I get back to, he's the highest profile player on that team, and with that comes responsibility and the spotlight being on you. But there's other people in the team as well. And there's other reasons why they're not performing well, you know. But he's the storyline. There's no getting away from that. There's no getting away from Latrell's storyline. He's the biggest personality in the team. He's got to come back and he's got to show that he loves football through his actions and have that excitement about his game and do the little things well. If he doesn't, then it's time to sit down with him and say, mate, your days as fullback might be numbered and we might have to make some changes and you might have to move out to the centres.
The concern is, Laurie, that internally, like I told you about noises coming out about the coach and people willing to say a few things that they haven't been willing to say before. And the other concern that is that the same, I guess there's a real love and protection for Latrell from a lot of people at South, but I get the distinct feeling that some of that is now not as strong as it was. And that is a worry when, you know, when things sort of start to change internally, that can really go quickly, you know what I mean? Like you can, like they've supported someone for a long time, and if that starts to sort of diminish or change, that's when you could see other changes as well.
I think you've got to change as a player as well. Sorry, Mick. I think, like, again, what I don't think anyone wants to see is, okay, Latrell's out suspended. So what we've seen in the past is he goes back to his family or Taree and has some time away from the game, and then he comes back with a smile on his face. But that might be what's best for Latrell, but is that what's best for the team? Like, I think Souths need to stop doing what's best for Latrell. Start doing what's best for the team. That's what they need. You can have all the individual brilliance that you want, but if you're not playing well as a team, you're not going to win games in any sport.
Now, as far as on the park is concerned, Denny, wild game there last Friday night at Accor Stadium, and the Bulldogs, well, they nearly blew it, didn't they, against the Roosters?
It was bizarre. Like, it was just a bizarre game. Like, look, first of all, I want to say credit to the Bulldogs, because that first half was the best first half I've seen them play for quite a while, for years probably. And yes, they they weren't great in the second half of that. A lot of people going down with injuries, broken bones, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the storyline that the South situation and has really sort of taken over, and also the Canterbury win, was the Roosters losing to Canterbury. I mean, that's pretty bad for the Roosters. Mm. And I feel like that has been really lost in a lot of the other drama that's gone on. You know, that the Roosters, again, I think I tipped them last year, or to be grand finalists, and I think they were pretty ordinary for most of the year, and they haven't been fantastic apart from against South, who we know that they're not firing. I think that was a real worry, that loss, the discipline, and I think they've been lucky to escape some of the scrutiny that. Souths are under, or Parramatta's under, or whoever else. I think they need to improve, otherwise they become a watch.
Have to leave it there, mate. Thanks so much.
Sorry about the phone line.
All good, thank you. Luke Bratton from Sydney FC coming up shortly. The Sydney Derby against the Wanderers is at Allianz Stadium on Saturday. Just some scores around. Some Aussies doing great in the NBA yesterday. Dante Exum with a buzzer beater to ensure the match between Dallas and the Houston Rockets went to overtime. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists as Dallas won that match in the end against Houston, 147-136. Josh Giddey had a triple-double for Oklahoma City in their 3-point win over the Charlotte Hornets as well. He had 20 points, 13 rebounds and 13 assists, and they got certainly big hopes in the Western Conference heading towards the playoffs. The season comes to a close. The playoffs start next week, in fact. It's about 4 games left for each club or thereabouts. And today, to tip off at 11:20 Australian Eastern Standard Time, it is the National Championship Final in men's college basketball as well. Over in the States, Connecticut, UConn are $1.32 with tab up against Purdue, who are $3.40. And the line there, 6.5, Connecticut. The minus, of course. It is Masters Week, and we spoke to Evan Priest earlier this morning. He is at Augusta National as well. If you missed that, for the latest news, you can just search for Big Sports Breakfast wherever you get your podcast to catch up there. But it looks as though Tiger Woods is set to make his 26th appearance there at Augusta this week, and he is in line to make the record, or to break the record, by making the cut as well. I think he's after his 24th. Yes, if he can make the cut for a 24th consecutive time, that would break the record. Last year, he equaled it with Freddie Couples and Gary Player, in fact, and then he withdrew in the third round when he looked very, very ginger. In fact, he was struggling to walk, as he had a foot injury, or he's battling his foot injury there last year. But Tiger, for the mega hopeful, $151 with tab to win the tournament. 5-time champion, of course. He's $4 to make the top 20. Scottie Scheffler, a pronounced favourite at $6 as it stands for the Masters starting late on Thursday night. Just in regards to all the South stuff, Loz, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves potentially with this, but if they were to make a change of coach, Michael Maguire, do you think he'd go back there? Of course, he was. He should be a legend of that club, really, for breaking the drought in 2014. But then it didn't end great for him there at the Bunnies. But, he was the coach there when they broke the drought in 2014.
I've never thought of it before, because I've just got Wayne Bennett in my mind. That's all I have at this stage.
Understandably.
Wayne Bennett, off contract. Madge has got the State of Origin gig for the next couple of years. He'll want to honour that. I think, no doubt in the world, Madge would want to get back into the NRL. There's no doubt, no question in my mind. And I don't think he enjoyed the way it ended at Souths. Well, I know he didn't enjoy the way it ended at Souths. And I think if given another opportunity there, he could help turn them around. But I don't know whether Madge is the one. I just see Wayne Bennett. It's just too perfect of a fit.
Hmm.
Bennett off contract. He's been there, got strong relationships with a couple of their key players who they need playing well.
Including Latrell.
Yep. Cody. Hmm. He's another one. They haven't been at their best. But, you know, without singling those two out, you know, their forwards have been ordinary. You know, it's just... It just hasn't worked. Whatever's being said at the moment is not working. It's not hitting home, and there's no real resolve about anything they're doing at this stage.
That match against... They've got the Sharks, don't they, this week, and the market has them $3 outsiders. Saturday night, Fox Lee, they're plus 8.5 at the line, and the Sharks are $1.40 for that match, which will be keenly watched, no doubt. And, well, as we're about to talk football with Luke Bratton of Sydney FC and the Sydney Derby on Saturday evening, Paramount Plus, Sydney FC $1.58. The Wanderers are $4.75. The draw is paying $4.50 for that one. We do have Champions League tomorrow morning as well. And these are quarterfinal first leg, some huge games. Arsenal $1.75 up against Bayern Munich, $4.25. The draw's $3.80 there. Real Madrid and Manchester City. Real Madrid $2.80 with Tab. City $2.40. The draw is $3.40. They're the two games tomorrow. Looking forward to those. First leg quarterfinals of the Champions League, but particularly looking forward locally to this Sydney derby. And Sydney FC, well, they're fourth on the ladder. They're coming off a 3-1 loss to Newcastle on the weekend. They've just got three games left before the finals. We've got to keep an eye out for Josh Reynolds in the Cove as well this Saturday night loss.
Yeah, Grubby's going out there.
Yep. Getting the shirt off.
He's going to make the walk or the trek, he said. But he is looking forward to the game. And, you know, they do create a great atmosphere
when these two clubs come
together.
And Luke Bratton, Sydney FC captain and midfielder, is joining us. How are you, Luke?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And 3-1 defeat to the Newcastle Jets. Where do you feel the side fell short on the weekend?
Look, it's a tough one. Obviously, we had a big week. We had the Mariners at home on Saturday, which was a huge effort and took a lot out of the boys. And then we pretty much hopped straight into playing and went to Perth for a Wednesday night game and played with a man less for, you know, an hour in that game, and then travelled back, which isn't easy going to Perth away. And then, yeah, had Newcastle on Sunday and then got another man sent off as well. So, look, I think the Newcastle game wasn't good enough. We didn't start as well as we have been and as well as we should, and there's no excuses. You know, even the travel midweek, it's no excuse. We should have been better, and you know, we got punished, as you do. And then it took until, you know, the red card for us to sort of wake up. And I think from then on, I think we dominated that game. And obviously when you're pushing for, you know, an equaliser or, you know, a goal against a team with one more player, it's going to be tough. And, they ended up scoring another one. But I'm super proud of the boys for, you know, the week that they put in the shift, you know, getting two men sent off in two games back-to-back. You know, first half is a tough ask, but I'm proud of the boys, and we're just going to try and forget that one and move on, I guess.
Yeah, Luke, I was going to ask that. How much time do you spend on, certainly in preparation for the derby, on looking at your performance from on that loss from last week, or is it just a quick shift and focus on the derby?
No, we usually review it. You know, we're going into it this morning, and we'll do a video and have a look where we went wrong. And you know, we always try and review the games that, you know, from the weekend and look where we can improve and look at, you know, the good things as well. And you know, after we watch it today, it'll be over and it'll be all preparations for the derby. Mm.
Just on that then, Luke, are you expecting to have a light week of training given the workload you've had, and obviously there you mentioned you've had two players sent off in three games. Is discipline something you have to really work hard on and get right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the week's going to be a little bit lighter than usual. We we train very hard to play the way if he wants us to play. You know, we have to train very hard. So I think this week might be a little bit of a down week just to recover and, you know, get some legs back. But yeah, the discipline thing's a hard one because I think we've had 5 red cards this season all first half. And I don't want to, you know, to talk about the referees, but I think that all 5 of them have been wrong decisions. And, you know, later on, you know, when you see the referees again, they say, oh, yeah, you know, it probably wasn't a red card. So yeah, it's tough to take if they were terrible tackles or, you know, they were clear red cards. And, you know, I think we've got to look at ourselves. But at the same time, we do put ourselves in those situations. And, yeah, we know what they're like. And with this VAR at the moment, you know, anything can happen. So I think we've got to be smarter and not put ourselves in those situations as well. But, yeah, I think the boys, you know, I don't know if you remember all of them, but I think they've all been pretty harsh, in my opinion. So, yeah, it is what it is. It's football, and I've said all along, you hope they even themselves out over the season, but we've had 5 and there's only 3 games left, so I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see.
Yes, and I see Robert Mack, he will miss the derby too. He gets a 1-match suspension for that red card. And I think you missed the last one, didn't you? Which was a great performance, by the way, 4-1. When you beat the Wanderers last time you played them.
Yeah, I've had my 5th yellow card, so I missed a match, and I watched it upstairs in the box, and it was incredible. You know, the performance the boys put on was great. To go there and to win like that was fantastic. And you know, we'll look at video from that game and see if we can you know, try and mirror that, but they'll look at that game as well and try and say, okay, let's change this from this. So, you know, derbies are, like you said before, the atmosphere is pretty special. You know, I think there's a bit going on with their fans, which, you know, you don't like to see because, you know, their fans, they're great as well. They make a fantastic atmosphere when they turn up. And I remember, like, obviously the last couple of derbies have been a fantastic atmosphere with both sets of fans. They're so passionate and, you know, it's a better spectacle for the sport. And, you know, when you see both sets of fans there, as players, you get up for it more. So hopefully, you know, it's a great night, and hopefully we come away with the 3 points.
Yes, they've had a mixed campaign, the Wanderers. How do you feel they're travelling at the moment, and where are their primary threats?
I think they're a fantastic team. Obviously, yeah, their performances have been up and down, but I think when they're on, they're one of the best teams in the league. So we've got to be wary of that. I think that, you know, they're rapid up front. And, you know, the big Marcelo from set pieces is very dangerous as well. So we got to do our homework. And I think it's more about concentrating on ourselves and doing the, you know, the job that Ulfie wants us to do, because I think when Ulfie puts a game plan in place, and if we execute it right, then I think we can beat anyone on a day.
Well, Luke, it's going to be a great occasion. Looking forward to it, and go well against the Wanderers on Saturday evening.
Cheers, guys.
Brad Davidson from Sky Racing. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are we, guys?
Yes, very well, thank you, mate. And what a day we saw when we got to the track and the sunshine came out and the races were on and some great racing. And the Doncaster, classic race in Australian racing, and Celestial Legend. What a performance from Tyler Schiller, getting down to that weight, 49 kilos, and producing the ride that he did. And Les Bridge, the training performance at age 85. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's quite the story, wasn't it, guys? And you're right. You got to take your hat off to Tyler Schiller. I mean, you know, wasting to get down to 49 kilos and then still having a mindset sharp enough to make those decisions and, you know, take those very narrow gaps. You got to be brave. And, you know, I think he even said post-race, it's not a gap I would normally take in a race. But, you know, he saw it, he went for it, and fortune favours the brave, they say, and he was able to get through that gap, and when he did, Celestial Legend just absolutely exploded late there with the lightweight, and you can see the emotion of Les Bridge and the owners there down on the fence as Celestial Legend crossed the line. But yeah, he's a very, very good horse, there's no doubt about that. And you know, they're already talking about Cox Plates next year, and why not? The way he's finishing his races off over a mile, 2,000 metres looks ideal. And, yeah, terrific ride and terrific training performance and just a great story all round.
And terrific effort by the ground staff too, Davo. I mean, to get that track up and running on that day was a remarkable feat, I thought.
I agree, Loz. Yeah, all congratulations go to the track staff, Michael Wood and his team there. You know, there are a lot of people on Saturday morning criticising them, saying, why on earth are we racing? Surely, you know, we should be postponing all week. This is ridiculous after the 230 mil of rain. And obviously they had that little issue with the overflow at the 1,000 metre mark. But they obviously worked really hard on that in the morning to get that into perfect order. And the phenomenal thing was, you know, we got there and thought, okay, it's going to be really heavy, but sounds like it's going to be safe. And then they run race one, and it's like, okay, this is hardly even a heavy track. It was remarkable. The track just seemed to handle it so well. And, yeah, it was the Randwick of old. I think it's fair to say in recent months it hadn't been draining as well as probably, you know, a couple of years ago. And then on Saturday it just shone through with real colours, didn't it? Phenomenal effort by everyone involved. And, you know, for the track to have, I think, two upgrades on the day and probably even play more like a soft seven throughout was quite phenomenal. And, yeah, well done to all involved. Great job, but also the right decision early in the morning in what was a pretty precious situation there. There's a lot at stake, and if they get that wrong, you know, there's a lot of criticism and backlash with that. So well done to all involved.
Did you think the Winx filly would go for 10 million?
No, I don't think so. I didn't think any horse would go for 10 million, Jared, but that was the case yesterday. Winx's part owner, Debbie Kapitas, buying the horse. And, yeah, I mean, a story that's captured the imagination of everyone. It's on the 7 News last night and on all the news channels, and everyone's talking about it. So quite phenomenal and, you know, great story that horse will remain in Australia to race as well. Obviously, there was overseas interest there, and the horse would have ended up overseas. So if that potential bidder was successful. So, you know, great news that she remains here. But, yeah, $10 million, good luck to them. I hope they make their money back, but obviously a bit of sentimental money there as well with the journey of Winx and whatnot. So that'll continue on with her progeny, and can't wait to see how it plays out in a few years' time.
Well, the championship continues on as well, Davo. We've got day two on Saturday. What is the race you're most looking forward to, or the horse you're most looking forward to seeing running?
Probably, yeah, Orchestral, Loz. You know, she's this new superstar filly from New Zealand, and obviously with Zardozzi being scratched from the derby on the weekend, it sets up a real tantalising rematch there on Saturday. And, yeah, just to see that again. I know James Cummings is very bullish about how Zardozzi's going, but, gee, she's got something special about her, this New Zealand filly. And I'll be surprised if she doesn't start a firm favourite there on Saturday. And I think the biggest issue for her is probably not her class. I think she's better than them. It's just being able to produce another peak performance after a long and hectic schedule. So, yep, that's probably the one I'm looking forward to most. But another cracking day ahead. Obviously, we've got the Queen Elizabeth, which is always a standout and a stack of feature races right across the card, along with the Oaks and Sydney Cup. And, yeah, it's going to be an outstanding day two this weekend.
I guess all the horses we were following have come to their grand finals. So, I guess, what are we forgiving?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't really put too many to follow, just simply for that fact. We're sort of at the grand finals now, so they'll have to wait a week or two, the horses to follow section. But look, there's a few there to forgive from the weekend. Bandy's Boy looked below his best in the country championships final, and he unfortunately pulled up lame, as did a Girl's Best Friend in the country championships final. And Traffic Warden unfortunately bled there, so he's got the ban. So, yeah, he would have been a great chance in the champagne in a few weeks' time. But yeah, he's unfortunately had that little bleed, so we'll see him back next preparation. But yeah, a few excuses there on the weekend.
Yeah, just to comment on the New Haven Park Country Championships final as well. What a great performance by Asgarda, this mare, which certainly appreciated the heavier going, and really nice ride by Kayla Nisbet, teaming up with Wagga trainer Doug Gorrell.
Yeah, you can see how much it meant to them all there on Saturday. Jared and Doug in particular, you know, he knew he had a horse going really well, but thought, no, we're probably going to struggle to beat a horse like Bandy's Boy coming off a group win. But that's the thing about racing is, you know, sometimes horses don't turn up for their best for whatever reason, and other horses are there to capitalise. And, you know, she was a terrific winner. She ran a good time, and as a mare that's been progressing beautifully this preparation, and went under Kayla Nisbet as well, as you said, great ride and a great moment for her on the big stage there yesterday. Very accomplished rider and on Saturday, and yeah, did a terrific job.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, guys. Chat tomorrow. Look forward to it.